Well, we were talking about Lena falling in the river. You just fall in the river one time, Lena?
Yeah, that was enough. That water was cold.
And Lila, did you fall in just that one time?
Well, just that one time, I changed my clothes too. We built a fire and I changed my clothes too. We always had extra things to change in, just in case of an accident. But I had my hip boots on and everything. But I went made for sure.
and then lay them on top of the load, and then they dried, and they were dry for the next time.
For the next time you went
in. Yeah.
Did you spot any game that time you went in?
I see 3 caribou up on the hills. But
that's probably why you fell in the water.
I just see the 3. But anyway, I didn't hunt anymore right then. I was through hunting. But we did get some game before. We got a moose. About a mile and a half down river from our cabin.
Do you both go up to the good pasture still and to hunt? Or
not the same
season?
Time.
No, we go different times.
Is anyone living there in the cabin now that you...
Not right now. There's my son is up there right now. He went up last weekend. And so he's up there with friends too. Then there's quite a few friends that uses the cabin there and everything.
But you don't have a garden?
No.
We have some there, but it's not... we have rhubarb right there now, and it's good. Every time we go up, we work on it. And also, we used to plant lettuce and radishes and things up there now when we go up in the fall if you plant them. Then they come up in the spring. We have to weed them when we get up there.
Oh, you plant them in the fall?
Sometime we go in June, huh?
You plant them in the fall?
Yeah, and sometime we go up in June, the last week of June, the first in July. We used to go up two at those times. And then somebody else was always up.
Well, Lila, you were talking earlier today about your weather reporting, and you said you had 3 reports a day for the CAA?
Yes.
And then one for...
2 for Lou Joy, one in the morning and one in the evening. And then if there was anything else that we had to know all over the country, why, we'd hear it then.
Well, what did you, for the CAA, you did it for the flying, for the
For the flying, yeah. And I used to first, before that, I was hired by the Weather Bureau. Why, then I was broadcast flying to Frank Pollock and talk to his planes when they come over, because they were flying then. For us and over. And if they couldn't get over the high mountains there in the good passes, then they couldn't get over to go into the 40 mile. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd have to wait until the fog cleared or ever what it was in the winter time, and then they could get over, because there was no need of them going if they couldn't get past our place to go into the 40 mile.
That was for Pollock?
Yeah, Pollock Flying Service, mm-hmm. which is Alaska Airlines now.
Well, when did you start broadcasting for Pollock, or giving him weather?
Oh, I see. Unless it's been a long time, because Johnny Stump was running the radio station here, and he built the set that I used up there.
Did you have any prior radio experience? Or
no.
Your husband was with the
Yeah, I was in. He was at radio and everything, and my previous husband, he worked for the ACS.
And then, do you recall when you started giving weather for the CAA, approximately? Was it during the...
It was...
Before World War II?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Quite a while before that. Just when I was trying to remember what year it was. I come in here and we got the transmitter. We got it for ourselves. And I had a commercial license. So... I studied and took examination for that. But that was so I could broadcast the weather, and I was learning CW2, and I was going to get an amateur license. But I had a commercial license at that time.
I see.
And then when I married Mr. King, he was an amateur and commercial. And he had, during the Second World War, he had charge of all the communications from Fort Wainwright. It was Ladfield at that time, Ladfield and also the Signal Corps here.
Oh, I see.
And he had 17 teletypes, too, to take care of. He took care of them all and had 3 or 4 men under him.
Well, you didn't live in a good pasture then.
No, we moved to town. I moved into Fairbanks then.
Approximately when was that?
I moved into Fairbanks in 42, the year that Mr. Johnson died. By then, I moved in and lived with the Butterbitches, John and Grace Butterbitch.
Well, did Mr. Johnson die on the...
He died of a heart attack. He was going up to the mines. See, we were hard rock, had hard rock at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so then later, 2 years afterwards, and I married Mr.
L.
King. Yeah. And he was a radio man and everything, you know. So we had all kinds of setups up there. And he had charge, as you know, up on the North Slope.
Yes, for Arctic Contracts.
Arctic Contracts, Puget Sound and Drake, and then the others, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Navy, it was under the Navy, as you know, then they were run it and everything.
Well, you used to call in twice a day for Lou Joy.
Yes.
What did Lou Joy want the weather for?
Well, you see, then I gave messages or anything, you know, I'd come in. And
order groceries that way.
Yeah, order groceries. And then if there's anyone couldn't get into town, I could get into town. Some of the mining places, they could not reach Fairbanks, but we did have a real good place.
Lou Joy just operated. He just operated a radio.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
he was scheduled to talk to people.
Yes, in the outline, and he worked for the NC company. And if they couldn't get in by calling direct, they would call me, and then
I'd
relay a message. I relayed and talked to people I never did meet. And one day I was in town, and I was in the store. And Lou Joy's daughter, she heard me talking in there. Oh, she says, I know who that is. And so, of course, they said, well, why don't you go see if it's her? She says, she calls my dad, said twice today, but says, I've never met her. But her dad had, but not. And so she come in and told me that she was Lou Joy's daughter. She was working at that time in the NC there. Mm-hmm. In the women's.
Well, Lena, did you ever do any radio reporting?
No.
Well, she, when I was in town in the hospital here, she gave my weather and things and broadcast it, and they thanked me for it while I was in. And of course, my son was the, when I was away, he would give the weather. Yeah, he was my assistant and help give the weather then. Then he was, of course, when he got in service, by then that was the end of that. That I still run the station.
Well, I remember when I first met you at Barrow, I think in 1950 when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You were already there. You had this parrot.
Well, he's visiting now at Lake Manchumina.
Is he?
He's still there.
He's still living?
Oh, yeah, he is still there at Lake Manchumina.
He's still living.
Who has him now?
Fran Holmes. And they run the powerhouse there for electricity and things, and they have a little grocery store, like, you know, to sell.
And what was the parrot's name?
Pal.
He'd sit there and recite call letters. And
yeah, he.
We got more kick out of that.
Yeah.
He just thought he had to help be right there when I was talking. And one day there was some of the fellows down from the mine, and they wanted to tell me something, and they come over there to whisper it to me, and he didn't like for them to be there. He was sitting on my shoulder, so he didn't want them. So then they didn't come over to whisper it to me when I was talking on the mic.
Yeah. One day I was talking to Fran Holmes over the telephone. She calls us all the time. And he says, I heard him, I gotta go, I gotta go.
That's Pal.
Yeah, and he whistles, and if he'd whistle, it'd ring in your ears for about 5 hours before you could get it out.
He can real whistle. And he's ready.
Well, where did you get that parrot?
I got him for Omaha, Nebraska. I got him when he was living in Seward. And so he couldn't talk at all. He was just in the molting stage when I got him.
Just a baby?
Yeah, just a baby. And so then I would give him a lesson every evening, cover him up all but a little place.
Were you were in Seward? Did you have someone bring it up for bring him up?
No,
for
he
you,
came or? Up. He came up on the boat, and he came up kind of express like. But they had him.
You had ordered him.
Yeah, I ordered him from Omaha, and he came up on the boat, and he was as express, and his cage cost more than he did to get it up. Of course, they come express, and the people on the boat had him out. The steward he had him out and packing him around. He was little, you know, it wasn't, but it was really something. When I went to get him, I had to get him from the steward because the steward had him down there.
Yeah.
He wasn't even in his box or anything.
Well, when did you go to Seward?
Let's see.
Lena,
well, I came to Seward in 25, see. I was in Seward in 25.
Oh, I see. And then it was just...
Yeah, and then, I came up here. And then after I got established up here, well, then she'd come
so
on.
That bird is almost 50 years old.
Yeah,
now.
He is, yeah.
Still going strong.
Oh, yeah, he's still strong and everything. We were going to have him bring him in last winter, but the weather turned so cold, she was afraid he might get pneumonia or something. And something happened, the plane didn't have heat or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we had him up at Bear, as you know.
I know. We used to get the biggest kick out of that.
And he used to call all the dogs' name, the dog team.
We had.
That,
Professor, Professor was our leader.
And he'd call Professor.
How many words did he know?
I don't know how many he knows now, but he knows lots more than he did. Because
when you gave him to Fran Holmes...
Oh, he must have had over 50 or 75 words vocabulary at that time. I don't know what he has, all he has now.
And if he didn't like you, he'd say goodbye. Mrs. Bickle, I don't know where you ever knew
she
her.
She says, I can't stay long. She says, you know, I gotta go. He says, goodbye.
And he'd say goodbye for her to go, you know. He didn't he didn't like.
Well, some people, boys he doesn't like and others he does. Not that she wasn't good to him or anything. We got about five little sparrows sitting on the steps out here. And the little red poles were here too, some of them. They were there just flying around. Bunches of them.
Well, I hope you can make something out of what you got.
One thing I'd like to ask you is, since you live in the good pasture, where you lived up there for 4 years, you said.
Mm-hmm.
And Lila, of course, lots longer. But when you were up there, Lena, did you ever have any problems with bears coming into the camp? Or?
I had problems. I went down on the walked down on the
river,
and I come face to face with one. He went one way, and I went the other.
You didn't stop and shake hands?
No, not a bit. He dug the dirt up. I started to holler, and he dug the dirt up one way, and I dug it up the other way. I went up. And my nephew heard it. He heard me holler, you know, and he turned to loose the dogs, you know, to come to me. And the dogs come right past me and went on.
Chased the bear.
Yeah, and so I went home.
Is it a black bear?
Huh?
Black bear, or did you?
A grizzly. Remember. And that thing stood up, you know, gee, it looked bigger than this house to
Holy
me.
Well,
and I hollered bloody murder.
It didn't bother too much. We had one to get in one of the cabins above. But he was leaning up against the door, scratching his back. And so the door thing come open. The spring broke on it. It was just a... Like
just
that, you know, hooked over here. A piece of 18-inch wire, the telegraph wire we used to make the things. And he went in and he did a little damage. He took the tea kettle in the coffee pot and he just grabbed him like that and chomped on him. And we found the tea kettle down the trail a ways, but you couldn't use it. But then anyway, he had a good time with it.
Yeah.
He was trying to get out more than he was trying to tear things up, I think. And then when he went out, the stove went down and everything.
You had dogs around your cabin there most of the time, so you didn't...
They'd let you know that when they started, you know.
Well, they didn't let us know one time when Francis and I was sitting there. Francis was sewing buttons or doing mending or something. And so I looked out, and it was blueberry time, and here the bear was, the little bear, it was in the spring. Here this little bear come along. The dogs were asleep, and I don't know why they didn't hear it, but anyway, I didn't say a word to her, and I went out real slow at the screen door so it didn't make, because it had a thing that you'd go clunk if you didn't watch. And I just took the gun off of the wall and went out, and I shot the little bear. Well, he went over, and all he could do was go over and fall down in the slough at a hole about 20 feet. So then we went out there, and we taken a wheelbarrow, and we got him out. We got one of the gaff hooks, a pole with that, and we fished him out of the water. and finally got him over to shore, and then we got him all fixed, and then we cleaned him and took him, bring him back to skin him when we got him over to the house. And just as we got back there, why, then here comes my husband and son. They come from upriver in the boat, and so
after
there we
had
were.
Him all skinned?
Then he took and skinned him out and everything, and we had the bear.
Did you use the meat, or did you use
the meat. Oh, yeah, the meat was real good.
How'd you fix it?
We take and roast some of it. It's real good. And it tastes the most like pork.
That's what I understand.
And it's real good, especially when you've been eating on blueberries. It makes it real good. But
did
when
you ever smoke bear meat?
No, we never. We very seldom, we didn't kill, very seldom we killed bears or something. Mm-hmm. Unless they were doing damage or something. But a long time ago, they used to kill the small black bears for the fur. It's really good fur, better than
soft.
Yeah, soft and better than the wolf. Wolverine.
Wolverine
is good for hoods and keeps the frost, and the frost will break and don't break the hair for your front of your face. At that time, why we had always that when you go out in the wind and the snow and it.
I talked to, do you know Ed Jano, who lives over on Rabbit Island?
I heard him, but
He's lived in the 40 mile for about 70 years. Went in there in 1903.
Oh? Mm-hmm.
But he's 90 now, and he's having trouble with his legs. He was telling me a bear story the other day. Mm-hmm. It was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Said he was, the 40 mile river was too high, and he had to walk over to Steel Creek to get his mail. It was about a 20 or 25 mile hike over the hills. Mm-hmm. And it was about midnight, and he was about 2 miles from home, and all of a sudden this brownie was there, and he just stood up, and he said he just stood there like that, put his hands right against him, or her, he called her, thought it was a she-bear, and the bear knocked him down, and he didn't have a weapon or anything, and the bear put one paw right here on his left arm. And then he said that bear's snout came, he said, as true as I'm sitting here, that bear's snout came right up to my snout. He said, I just lay there with my eyes closed, and I had a chaw of tobacco in my mouth. He said he just spit for all he was worth. And that bear felt the
bear paw
leave, and he said he just lay there with his eyes closed, and pretty soon he opened one eye and looked around, and he didn't see the bear, and he opened both eyes, and he looked, didn't see the bear, and he turned his head a little bit, and the bear was going down the hill backwards on all fours. Mm-hmm. He said it was about 50 feet away, and it was just walking backwards on all fours. Mm-hmm. Then he said he had just picked up a lot of newspapers and magazines from the post office, and he reached in his pocket and got a stick match and pulled out a newspaper, and he lit the paper. So that gave him some kind of a weapon.
Oh, yeah,
But he said he just lit it, in case the bear attacked him, he'd have some fire. But he said the bear just kept going backwards. Last he saw him, it was still walking backwards. I guess it must have gotten that tobacco juice in its eyes.
Or something.
He didn't.
Oh, boy, it's really funny.
He really thought he was a goner. He said that bear snout was right on his face.
Well, tobacco's strong, and you get it in your eyes.
That's probably what happened, but he said he just turned loose and spit for all he was worth.
Of course,
really
we were
worked.
Real careful, though, about walking through the woods and things like that. We took our gun just for more protection, that you come on something, but we never went up and walked along the river in the game trails unless we had the gun with us. Not that we fired. We never killed anything unless we needed it for eating or something. Mm-hmm. We took care of all of it. We never wasted a thing, and especially when it was right near the house or we could get it. We used everything for the garden. Anything we had, we brought it and used it for the garden and buried it and things. But we never killed anything unless we needed it to eat. We never fished until we need some fish to eat. I mean, we didn't.
We didn't waste anything,
and we always buried things. Of course, you couldn't bury anything around the garden unless you were going to be there, because if the bears smelled it or some other things, they'd come in and maybe dig and things, but otherwise somebody had to be there all the time.
Well, did you use the dogs for sledding, for freighting?
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason.
Yeah, in the wintertime we used them, but we had the boat in summertime.
Are you a pretty good dog washer, Lena?
No, I'm not. I like to ride.
We had what we called a one runner. So we had one of our dogs got caught in a snare, and he was our leader. And we just hated to kill him. And he had, he'd start having little fits after that. And we didn't work him or do anything, you know, we just kept him there. But, oh, it just break his heart when the dog team went away and he couldn't get. So then we had this one runner. So we'd take him and run with him up on the trap line. And he was just so happy then that he was going.
To get in the harness, you know, and go, and he'd go for all he was worth.
He was a beautiful dog.
Well, did he lose one leg?
No.
No, not him. Huh?
But
no.
he had to come.
He got the snare around his. He got the snare around here. And we got it off. And I held him while Walter cut the snare off of him. And my son went and found him, you see. We turned him loose, but we didn't think he would go up that far up the river, and so we didn't. So then,
what was it?
He was a mallet.
What kind of a snare was it? Rabbit snare?
It was one for wolves, but we set it.
Lena, someone told me that you went to Cuba one time. Tell me about that.
Well,
did you live there?
No, my father was there. And I wanted to see him, so I went to Cuba. Lila was in Cuba.
I was.
And she was already there, so I went. I went to Cuba.
My father, he was overseer for the Bagua sugar plantation down there. And that is run by the United Fruit Company at that time. And we lived in Camagüey. But the plant was down in about halfway between there and La Gloria. And so he worked for that company there up until about, 6 months before he died. And then he went to work for a new company, and he got the malaria. And so he died shortly afterwards that he was.
Was your whole family there?
No, just my father. And then I went down there and. My son was born in Camagüey, Cuba.
Oh, he was?
And so...
Bob, your son Bob Johnson?
Mm-hmm, my son Bob Johnson was born there. And my sister came down and her daughter came down to live with us.
And that was Camagüey?
Camagüey, Camagüey.
And how long were you there totally, Lila?
Well, I was there until I got the malaria fever, I was there. Well, let's see, my son was about 3, and then I had to come back to the States. So I came back and went to Louisville, Kentucky, and lived there. And I worked for the Bell Telephone Company there. Then I came to Alaska. Came on a visit.
Your trip, though, Lena, to Cuba was just a visit to see
Yeah.
Island.
And then I went back to Jacksonville.
You didn't stick around long enough for Fidel Castro to take over?
No, I didn't.
No. I was there doing one of their revolutions down there that they had. I was running a hotel for this friend of mine, Mrs. Rushing, that run the Stokes House. And at that time it was called the Stokes House. And we had all of the people that... worked for Wells Fargo Express Company. They had all their meals in one or two of them roomed there, but mostly they had a house of their own that they board, but when some of their men came and didn't have, they stayed there at our place. And most of the Americans stayed there at Stokes House in Camagüey. And the La Gloria wasn't too far away, and that was settled all by American people from the States that went to live down there. They had orange groves and raised cattle and things also, but my father, since my father was there, that's the reason that I was down there.
I see. Well, back to you, Lena. you're the Queen Regent, and you're going to be honored at the Regent's Tea during Golden Days next week. It's what, Friday? Is it Friday? The 21st? Or, I'm not certain of the date. Yeah, it'll be Friday the 21st. And then the mug up will be
Saturday night. Yes.
Oh, no, Friday would be the 20th.
20th, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, the 20th.
And then the mug-up will be the 21st.
First.
Mm-hmm. And then the Pedro Monument on the 22nd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you know of any other activities where you will be?
Well, she will be in the parade.
Oh, right, the parade.
I'll be in the parade.
That will be on a Saturday.
And two, they're supposed to send Jack Lincoln, myself, to Anchorage, to the rendezvous, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know. Adolf Stock told me that. Said they'd be sending me to the...
Anchorage, I think.
To Anchorage, to there. That'll be the rendezvous.
For rendezvous.
Yeah.
Next February, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, that's good. Unless you're down in the States running across...
No, I'll be
United
here to
States
go to it.
No.
If I'm lucky enough to get...
To get what?
To go.
I'm sure you'll go.
If I'm lucky enough, that the States, that somebody'd have to pay my way if I went.
But back to your life just a little bit. After you and Oscar were married in 1952, did you work any place after that?
No.
A housewife?
Yes, a housewife.
And Oscar was a widower then? Or?
Yeah. It did. I was Oscar's third wife.
Oh.
See, he was married to Hannah.
He married first on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then he... Then when he got out of service, then he was divorced, and then he married McKenna,
Hannah was her first name.
And
I can't remember her name. I didn't know all about her.
Well, her and Oscar...
Been separated for a long time.
Over 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Is she Jack Phipps' mother?
No.
The first wife
is Jack.
But he and Hannah were married but then separated.
Yes, separated.
Long time. But she worked for the Alaska market. She worked in the Alaska market.
I see.
I don't know where she's living now or not.
Either.
I don't know anything about her, in fact. Mm-hmm. Canna was her name.
Canna.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, probably somebody else knows her.
I don't know her, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not here.
She's not here. Haven't lived here for a long time.
She run the palace rooms.
Mm-hmm.
She had a bathhouse there.
They used to take steam baths there, right next to the. Next to the market there, where Alaska Market used to be, where right now is Woolworths.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Right.
She was right in there. Next, to Alaska Market was on the corner towards the new Hydukovich. That corner in.
Well, you
right
know
what?
You know the old Gordon store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was on 4th, right next to that, where the palace rooms were.
Well, that's right. They were. Yes. I thought she run that.
No, you were thinking of...
I thought she run that
You
one.
Were thinking of what's her name that died out in Seattle. Oh, what was her name?
Pearl?
No.
Wasn't Pearl then?
No, she's... Alaska was going out and get her, but she died before she... Now
what was her name? Alaska was going to bring her back.
Yeah, they were going to bring her back and put her in the Pioneer Home, and she died beforehand.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she run the that's right, the palace is over there right by...
Yeah, that Gordon's was along there.
And she was across from Foster's house
and
there.
And that bathhouse is out at
Alaska.
Yeah. And... Jim Cassidy is one that set all of that up, for him out there with that.
Well, when Lila lived at Barrow. Did you ever visit her there?
No, no, I never went to Barrow.
Have you traveled in Alaska very much?
That no, only with Oscar. We were traveling around in Alaska.
Did you just drive mostly?
Yeah, we drive. Mm-hmm. We went from here to Valdez. We went to Anchorage. We were just around in the Alps and going to Circle and like that. He wanted to see the game, so we traveled with the game. And we'd park the car and travel over land.
I'd like to maybe I'll talk to Sam White one of these days just about that, because I remember Irving Reed and Eleanor talking about the early forming the Alaska sports.
Yeah, and Oscar, I don't know what did. I know he went, he never missed a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Eleanor just made a trip to.
Yeah. And you know, people think that's awful. She did. Well, I think it's wonderful.
Oh, I think that's just great.
And she,
she's wanted to do that for so long.
Yeah, where'd she go to?
I think to Banff in Canada.
She went on a trip and hired somebody to go with her.
She took a nurse from the Pioneer Home. Someone said she had to pay the nurse's wage.
Yeah,
well,
she has talked about making that trip for.
Well, I'm glad she made it. Now, I wanted to make over the White Pass. Oscar says that's the most beautiful trip, and it is. It's the most gorgeous trip in Alaska.
Is that right?
Yeah, over that White Pass. If you ever get a chance, you should go over it. Oh, what? Wait a minute. 6-6-5. 1-6-5-2-3-9. Now let's see if I, Chris, if I got that right. 1-6.
4-5-6.
4-5-6. And 5-2-3-9. Yeah. Oh, she is. Okay, well, bye-bye. Yeah, okay. That was her mother.
Well, that was Chris.
Yeah.
She'll always be Chris. We knew her way back when.
Yeah.
She used to come out to Dells of the girls. They come out. Then they want the car to go somewhere.
Oscar said that you really ought to take...
Yeah, he was going to take me on the trip, but we never did... We had other places to go, you know, and then he got sick, so we just didn't go. And then we had a friend to come from Florida here, and we showed her around, and I says, well, we'll take the White Pass Railroad.
That was this year?
Yeah. And so we went from here to, on the bus to Whitehorse. We stayed overnight and got on the train the next morning and went to Skagway. And but going over that White Pass, it was just beautiful.
Is that is the train pretty comfortable?
Yeah, you can just move your chair anywhere as you want it, all on from one side to the other. And then we stopped at and had lunch
at Bennett Lake.
And you talk about serving, it was all homemade stuff on the table. It was just out of this world.
Just like the old days
of
the gold rush. They say the grub there was the best in the world.
It is. And so we left from there, and then we got into Skagway, and we stayed a couple of days in Skagway, and we stayed at the museum.
Northern Hotel.
In all antique furniture. Which was real nice to see, and we went all over that, and then we, at night, we taken the boat into Juneau.
The ferry?
Yeah, the ferry, and then our friend stayed on there. She had passage on there, and we went as a foot passenger. We got off in Juneau, and Mr. and Mrs. Wyckoff was there to meet us when we got off, and we stayed there 5 days with them, and then we flew back into here.
Had you been in Whitehorse before?
Yes, years ago. Catherine LaCrosse and I were in Whitehorse. I made a trip with her into Dawson and all around, and we come into Whitehorse.
I see. Did you ever go down or up, come up the Alaska Highway from Seattle?
No, I've gone out over the Alaska Highway. It's a beautiful trip. Mm-hmm. If you ever get, if you say you're going, it'd be just wonderful.
I want to go, but the Pioneer Convention is September 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I think, in Palmer. Mm-hmm. Then the International Sourdough Reunion and the Alaska Yukon Pioneers mm-hmm. are combining their annual convention this year in September. And they're chartering the Wickersham, the big ferry Wickersham in Seattle, and they're going from Seattle up to Skagway, stopping at all the places in between. Then they're going to take the White Pass Railroad up to Whitehorse, and then they're going to return, and it's a 9-day trip. So, do you remember at the Pioneer Convention, Bertha McKay, who was
yes.
got up and spoke, and she's
spoke
from
mm-hmm.
Nome Auxiliary Number 1.
Yeah.
The only surviving charter member of Nome Auxiliary. Mm. And she's president of this International Sourdough Reunion, and she's the one who's been kind of promoting this thing. They're taking a lot of people from the Northwest, sourdoughs and mm-hmm. former Alaskans. They're going up to Whitehorse. It's kind of celebrating the 75th anniversary of this.
It's a beautiful trip.
So I wrote to them, not to Bertha, but I wrote to someone else who's making arrangements, and told him I wanted to make the return part. And he just sent my letter back and scribbled on the bottom. Mm-hmm. He says, sorry, no more room. So I thought, I'll just write to the governor. And I'll just write to Governor Egan and see if I can work it out through the state.
The thing is that sometimes...
I don't have to have a stateroom.
On
I can
the
just
ferry.
Sleep on a deck chair.
They
bag.
Don't...
Where? That on the boat?
On the boat.
Oh, there's just... on that ferry, there's just totals of chairs and everything, and there's foot passengers all over.
Well, Libby and I came up on the Wickersham last September. I went outside for the summer to go to summer school, and then she was out, and then we drove up and caught the Wickersham. And it's a huge ship.
I think the Wickersham is a real wonderful boat, and it's too bad that they're trying to get rid of it. I think it
should
be.
Well, that's the last trip it's going to make. Is this
it
one?
Is, and I really think...
But you can go on... you can go as a foot passenger.
That's what I'm going to do. I think mm-hmm. I'll just go anyway.
Go as a foot.
Because there'll be sourdoughs on there we could never...
Yeah.
Never find,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And... that you'll come up on it, but you won't go back on
no,
it.
No, she'll
no, go,
I'll
back
go back
on
it.
On it.
Oh, you'll
go back on it.
Because their trip starts the 19th of September.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So it conflicts with the
Pioneers
Pioneer
here.
Convention. And
the convention
as soon as
here.
We found out the dates of our Pioneer Convention in Alaska, I wrote to Bertha McKay uh-huh. the very next day
yeah, uh-huh.
and told her what the dates were.
Uh-huh.
I hoped that their dates wouldn't conflict.
Well,
but they have to...
make it so far ahead of time.
Yes, and it's the very last trip that the Wickersham's going to make, and the state has never chartered the Wickersham before. Mm-hmm. That's the first time they've ever done this for a convention. So they're going to have their convention right aboard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it'd be fun.
Oh, that would be
Lila,
wonderful.
You and I'd have a good time
mm-hmm.
on
it. Would. We would. And for her being queen, she would really, if
yeah,
she wanted to go.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be great.
Yeah.
And
but
well, what I was going to say was that on some of them boats, there is lots of times they tell you there's no room.
There's always
four
standing
in a
sitting room.
Three and four in a, some, there's four beds in some part when they were down there at their cabin. The Ofsteds had their trailer camper parked there.
Mm-hmm.
And when the water got up too high into the...
come in the camper.
Into the house... they went out into the trailer, and they stayed in the trailer until the water started coming up in the trailer. And then someone came if they wanted to be moved, and they said, yes, they would like to have somebody come by. And so it wasn't more than 15 or 20 minutes before they came by in a boat and picked them up and took them down. And while they were going down, why then they... the boat was going there by the Northward Building.
You know, Margaret had that in her room.
And this man was in the water, and they caught this man and then they really pulled a man, and she held on, and they pulled him right into the boat to save him from going down in underneath the, where he, you know, there was a big hole there in the north, by the Northwood building. And so that was one thing she forgot to mention about.
But that's right, he was being sucked into the...
He was hollering for help.
He's holding on to some kind of a
thing. The climbing, the doors, you know, them doors you push this way, he was holding on to one of them. And we got him in the boat. They drug him right across me.
Well, where were you during the flood?
Right here.
And we couldn't get up here. We tried to get up here.
It came in that much of coming up here. You see, our house sets up higher. But we
had your basement completely filled.
Yes, all everything, Al, you know, we'd bought different meters and different things, testing and things for the, we was retiring next year. And so we thought we'd get everything while we had the money, because when you retire, you don't have the money to buy those things. And we bought quite a few new things, and they were downstairs because they kept telling us it's going to crest at 11 o'clock. So we figured it was going to crest at 11 o'clock, and we had quite a few things. But then the pilots came, flew over, and they came in and landed and called the newspaper and the radio places, and they also called the Weather Bureau and told them that the rain and the cloudburst was coming in, headed right for Fairbanks, and it was not going to crest at 11:30. But they wouldn't broadcast that because they said it was not official. He was not official one to give it. And so I don't know if they had got their communications from the others up at the springs too, but they flew right in here and landed, you know, out there, and they told them right away.
And it was real unfortunate. A lot of people got
because would have saved more things. I don't think we get panicky up here like some of them, these newcomers think that we get panicky. We don't. If we tell the people what's going to happen, they would have moved their things up higher.
See,
we'd have went downstairs and moved especially some of the radio and the meters and things like that, but we'd piled them up high. Which we'd never had water before in our basement.
Yeah.
Never. But so that was our flood. And one other thing.
Well, you know from the college on, where I was too, you know, I was at your house 2 weeks. And George was so nice. And the night we got, the day we got the lights on, he went and got your best silver.
He got everything out.
And I says, George, he says, we've got to celebrate. And he, we used your good silver.
Actually, it's silver plate. Well, I use my sterling silver every day use.
But he got what he thought was the
We keep it in the box, and it's nice and shiny.
Yeah.
You know, so when we have company, we have nice shiny silverware. That's what he was.
Well, anyhow, we use that.
Yeah.
And he was just as nice as he could be. You couldn't ask for anybody any nicer.
He's a pretty good boy.
Well, that's
growing
good.
Up, he's almost 19 now.
Oh, it don't seem like he should be a little.
It don't seem that long, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Gosh, time flies so fast. I think time goes faster in Alaska than any other place.
Well, when you're busy.
Yeah,
like you,
I think
you know, so.
It
seems it goes by too fast for me.
Well, it seems like spring is here, and then the summer come, and the fall is gone before we know it. I think.
Back to the pioneers. Have you always participated in the pioneer activities, like the mug up and you?
Yeah, I did, as long as we were in the old Eagles Hall. But since we left from there, I don't.
But you go to pioneer meetings.
I go to the pioneer meetings, and I very seldom ever miss one.
And Bill Schaefer takes us.
And Bill Schaefer, we go. They call us up and say we'll call you when we leave. We leave the house, and then he drives right here and takes us right on.
Yeah.
And him and his wife, Linda. They before she passed on, by then they always seen that we got to the
They never miss. Linda was always so helpful to me. You know?
Yeah, and
you know she didn't. Linda, you didn't. You talk anything about the Pioneer. She didn't have to look in a book. She could get right up and read it right off to you.
She lived Pioneers.
I know.
And
I know.
She really...
And she kept all of those books and things
right
to the minute, you know.
But you've never had an office in the Pioneer.
Yes.
Yes, I did. When Alaska was president, I was in the door. And I've turned down a lot of them because I didn't want it. And then beforehand, the old Eagles Hall, you know, and everything. I worked in the kitchen when we had anything, you know. I never was out in front. I worked in the kitchen, you know, and helped serve and everything.
After meetings, the lunches after meetings?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever held an office in the Pioneers?
No.
Lila?
No, I've never held an office there. I have in other lodges.
Mm-hmm.
In the... Moose Lodge. I went to the chairs in the Moose Lodge, also the Rebecca Lodge, and then I went through about four chairs in the Amaranth, but I don't belong to the Amaranth anymore.
Do you belong to the Moose, or
no?
No,
I've just belonged to the Rebeccas and the Pioneers and VFW.
I used to belong to the Eagles, but I retired from that because they wouldn't give me a life membership at that time. They said you couldn't, and also the Amaranth said that you had to be so many years, but it wasn't correct because we had made laws to that after so long you could buy a membership in the...
Mm-hmm. I'm a life member of the Pioneer.
Mm-hmm. So am I, too, for that matter.
Yeah, Oscar and I both got life members.
Because I think when you retire, you don't have the money that you think you're going to have. I mean, that you're used to having before you... Once you retire, if you don't work at something, you don't have enough money to do the things that you want. So I thought, well, while we have the money, that's the time to get the life memberships in them. And then you can help do little things, you know, and help. But otherwise, if you don't have the money to pay you... And now with the...
It's surprising how many Pioneers just don't have the money, too. They just don't want to admit it. You know,
and they don't want to say it. They
don't.
And some say, well, I just can't go to it because...
Yeah.
And they don't want to come out and say, well, really don't have the money to.
Yeah, I know.
And some people think because you lived in Alaska a long time, you must have a lot of money salted away. But they forget that over the years you've either raised your family, and it takes money for that, and you've got to have... quite a good size income to lay it by, and we had depressions the same as the other places.
Mm-hmm.
And here lately, since they waited so long for the pipeline, we've had more depression in a way.
A lot of people think I get Oscar's pension, but I don't.
You don't?
No, indeed, I don't.
No, when they
every check he got, it said on there at death. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
I had two checks when he died. I had one in my pocketbook, but I just couldn't ask him to try to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
He was so sick. So one I didn't get. So I taken them one after the funeral. I taken them over here at the FE. And they... I told him the reason I didn't I just couldn't bring myself to it, you know, for asked him to sign it, and I says the other check didn't show up, and I says I thought my husband was more important than me in that check right then, so he told me to sign my name up there, and sign Oscar's, sign Oscar's and then sign mine under it. And I cashed that, and then in about 3 weeks, they sent me the other check and wrote me a nice letter from Boston. That's where the headquarters is at. Yeah.
Are there still some people in Fairbanks living, men who worked with Oscar at Effie Company in the power plant?
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any.
You don't think so?
Of the old timers.
Anderson used to work over there, and so did Elmer. Martha Elmer Swanson. As he didn't work in the powerhouse with him, but he worked for the
Effie
company. Yeah, huh.
And
but they knew each other. I mean, in work.
That and Bob Morris, he worked there to the powerhouse, but he
was learning.
Yeah, he was under. He trained all of them. And Oscar was the only one that didn't have a high school education. The rest of us well educated, and Oscar's the only one that passed the examination.
Holy smoke. Where did you say he was born? I wrote it down here. So.
Oscar?
Yeah.
Oscar was born in Kentucky.
I guess I didn't ask you that, yeah.
That would be, it should be on the things of the pioneers.
Yeah, they'd have the.
They should
records.
Have.
Well, he was born
what
in.
What you call it says she has everything now. She says, I have all the records up to date. She says it wasn't up to date, and I had to go into a slider.
I heard but, her the last
yeah.
name.
But
they
Vera,
were all up to date before that. Vera Slider, yeah.
Yeah.
But they were all up to date before that because I've seen the records.
Well, he was
she
born.
Said recent ones, hadn't they?
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
her.
that might be, but then.
Oh, yeah, and she took. There was nobody more efficient than.
Than Linda.
Linda Schaefer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No. Well, I'm sure glad the letter was read from Ida, from the Grand Secretary. I was so glad that it was read like it was, too.
Yeah.
Because there was that.
They should read those things out to the membership.
Yeah.
So we know, you know, the membership knows what.
Yeah.
What and,
well,
the other was real wrong.
I'm getting too old now to hold any office or anything. I don't like. I just want to go and sit in the background.
I just love to go to pioneer meetings. I really
There's always
each one is different. You know,
yeah.
There's always something coming up.
Yeah.